scripture lesson for today comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter. Listen now for God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native languages, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised up his voice and answered them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show potents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the words of our Lord remain and abide forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. There seems to be this human tendency to think small, to look narrowly, and to assume that God shares our same small and limited concerns. The apostles at the time of Pentecost, they were people who had narrowly defined concerns. We know this because of their words to Jesus just before Jesus left their presence, before he ascended. Their question to Jesus at that time, the pressing issue that was on their hearts, the question that they were hoping to get some feedback on, was the reestablishment of the earthly kingdom of Israel. The apostles were wondering about the land of Israel, the promised land, Canaan. They were thinking about that narrow strip on our planet that stretches from its northern borders, touching Lebanon and Syria, to its southern borders near Egypt and the Sinai Peninsula. They had their eyes and their hearts locked up on the politics, the economy, and the future fortunes of that tiny strip of land, with its western border on the Mediterranean Sea and its eastern border with the country of Jordan. This was their promised land, the land that God had given to the descendants of Abraham and Sarah. Jesus was their Messiah, their chosen Savior, and the people of the people in their historic land. So surely, now that Jesus had risen victorious over the grave, God would be eagerly working to restore the fortunes of this narrow strip of land and the kingdom that once ruled upon it. God may have had bigger plans in mind. God may have had more in view. God may have been in the middle of a far grander project, but the disciples, sitting as they were huddled together in Jerusalem, They couldn't see past the borders of their narrow view that they had taken when it came to what God's project would be and what God's concerns must be. Like those first disciples, I find that it is our tendency as well, and the tendency of the people in our world, to think too narrowly of ourselves and the interests of our own narrowly defined groups, whatever that group may be. And then it is also our tendency to assume that God must share our limited concerns and our limited point of view. We have this destructive tendency to think only of what will advantage us personally, and then to live like disconnected islands in a sea of other independent entities. We think only of what will advantage our own people, our own families. We think it's dog eat dog out there, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to ensure that my family, my kids, my grandkids have every advantage possible. We care about and advocate for the school systems in our own town and disregard that a few towns over, kids might not have nearly the same educational opportunities, let alone thinking about or caring about the nutritional or educational or environmental situations of children in the poorest parts of our world, the parts of our world hardest hit by the growing effects of global climate change. We think about what will affect certain policies, laws, regulations, and international treaties. We think about how those will affect our people, people of our religion, people of our race, people of our land and our country. And we narrowly close the borders of identity. We narrowly close the borders of what matter to us around these limited indicators of identity. And we assume, either explicitly or implicitly, that God shares our same narrow concerns. When the Holy Spirit fell on God's first apostles on that first morning of Pentecost, it quickly became clear that God had bigger and more expansive, all-encompassing plans in mind for His people and His church and His kingdom. The Spirit came on Pentecost, and it brought with it power to enable the apostles to take part in God's gracious and wide-open plans. The Spirit came upon the apostles, and it quickly became clear that the promises that God was in the business of fulfilling were not promises that would narrowly affect only the people of Israel or only the family of Abraham, but all people, in all lands and across the whole of God's creation. The Spirit's first gift was the gift of tongues, enabling the apostles to share the good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, not only with people from their own families, not only with people from their own towns in Galilee, not only with people who spoke their dialect of Aramaic, nor the widely understood language of Greek. God's Spirit gave them language so that they could reach people from all across the entire known world. Did God want the apostles to make a difference in their hometown and in Jerusalem? Of course. God did, and God would send the apostles to have an impact in those hometowns. God would send the apostles to heal the sick, to free those who were captive to evil spirits and captive to sin-filled and guilt-filled lives. God would send the apostles into Jerusalem to gather together worshiping communities who would break bread together and who would organize programs to care for and feed the hungry and the widows in that city. But God's concerns, God's promises, God's vision expanded beyond this one city and this one nation and this one narrow piece of land. For God was and is the creator of all things. God was and is the one true God, overlooking, overseeing, loving, and caring for all lands and all peoples. God's promise to Abraham and Sarah was that God would make them a great nation, A great nation would come of their family, but God's promise did not end there. For God went on to promise that through the blessing of this one family nation, through the family of Abraham and Sarah, God would bless all the family nations of the world. This was God's plan for salvation. This was God's grand vision for God's servants and God's plan for us as well. The apostles had a narrow vision of what God's plans and God's concerns must be. But the Spirit of God thrust the apostles into God's all-encompassing project. Today, through the story of Pentecost, God reminds us that God has welcomed us into a kingdom and into a project that has no boundaries, no borders, and no divisions. Today, through the story of Pentecost, God invites us to examine where we have put up boundary walls when it comes to our own visions, our own concerns, and our own hopes for our community, our town, our nation, and our world. Do our concerns, do our hopes, do our desires, do our actions match the worldwide view of the God that we know and the God that we love? Or have we become subject to that destructive human tendency to look too narrowly at our lives and our world? Today, through the story of Pentecost, we are challenged by God to remember that there is not one nation on earth that is more important to God than any other. Today, through the story of Pentecost, we are reminded that our mission as Christians is in part to exist in our world as people who have been given by God a worldwide vision of concern. Our mission in part is to look upon our world with that same all-encompassing vision which we know our God has and our God looks upon our world. Thus, as God's people, we are charged with caring for all the earth. We are charged with spreading the good news upon all the earth. We are charged with helping to bring forth God's reign, God's kingdom of love and mercy and justice upon all the earth. There are small and there are personal ways that we can do this. We can pray. Each and every one of us can pray for God's world. We can reduce, reuse, and recycle in hopes of helping to affect our local and our global environment. And we can support international nonprofit and church-based programs that continue the work that was begun on that first Pentecost morning. We can support programs and mission partners who spread the gospel and who feed the hungry, who clothe the naked, and who work for the development and the benefit of all peoples and all lands. And we can take personal political action as well to ensure that the people in our government understand our personal beliefs about our God and our God's worldwide vision. We can take personal political action to ensure that the people in our government who represent us understand our concerns, the concerns that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit, concerns not only for ourselves and our nation, but for the nations and the peoples of God's entire world. There is a beautiful and an appropriate kind of national pride. The kind where you feel and give gratitude for the country in which you live. The kind where you celebrate the unique history and culture of the place where you live and the place that you call home. But as Christians, our true home is not a land or a kingdom with earthly borders. Our true home is in God's all-encompassing kingdom. Our membership in this kingdom is a membership which ensures our place at this table. And our membership in this kingdom calls us to act for the good of all people and all lands. It calls us to live knowing that man-made borders are just that. They are the borders that men have made and not the borders that God has made. For the story of Pentecost reminds us that our God claims and knows and loves all peoples and all lands. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.